This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wahda. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. ألا من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with the month of Ramadan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has further divided the Ramadan into three categories. We know the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَّلُهُ رَحْمَةٌ, that the first 10 days of Ramadan is rahmah of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the mercy of Almighty Allah. وَعُوسَتُهُ مَغْفِرَةٌ, and the second Ashra of Ramadan is seeking the forgiveness of Almighty Allah. And the last 10 nights of Ramadan and the last 10 days of Ramadan is seeking emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. Because we are now in the second Ashra, which is to seek forgiveness of Almighty Allah for our sins, I felt it appropriate that today we will speak about seeking forgiveness for our sins. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us human beings with both the capacity to do right, and Allah has kept within us the inclination towards sins. So Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah has given human beings both these aspects, fujur and taqwa. Fujur means transgression and sins, and taqwa means seeking the consciousness and seeking piety. In another place in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, Inna hadaynahu sabil, imma shakira wa imma kafura. Allah has showed you both ways. Imma shakira wa imma kafura. Either you are grateful to Almighty Allah by being obedient to Allah. Gratefulness to Allah means being obedient to Allah. Wa imma kafura, either you are ungrateful by being and by committing sin. So Allah has given both of these things to humankind. Humankind is an amalgamation of both. He is not like, for example, the angels, which Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, La ya'asuna Allah ma amarahum. The angels and the malaika, they never go against the commands of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allama Iqbal, the very famous poet from Pakistan, has made mention of this aspect of humankind. Ye khaki apne fitrat mein na nuri hai na nari. This human being instinctively, he is not a nuri or neither is he a nari. He is not by nature someone completely innocent, neither is he completely only evil. He is an amalgamation of both of these things. Obviously, the challenge for us as human beings is that we must lead our life and channel our life in such a way that we do more good. And the evil that we do, we curb it to the best of our ability. However, we all know that we have all of these things, both the inclination towards good and also the aspect of sin. And we are human beings. Allah Ta'ala says, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Allah Ta'ala has created human being weak. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hadith is very famous. That Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, كُلُّ بَنِي عَدَمَ خَتَّعُونَ. Each and every human being is a sinner. Some are more and some are less. But each and everyone has committed sins. Other than the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, who are ma'asum. Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam cannot commit sin. And Sahaba ikram are mahfuz. Sahaba ikram are protected from sins. So this is the Sahaba and the Anbiya. You and I, we commit sins, some more, some less. Fortunate are those who have less sins. And even more fortunate are those who commit sins and then they acknowledge their sins and they ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Anyway, this is the aspect. So, you know, it is part of humankind that we are going to sin. and we are inclined towards weakness, we are going to commit sin. Someone asked a wise person, would the world not be better if there was no evil, if there was no sin? So he gave such a beautiful reply. If there was no temptation to evil, then there would be no meaning in being virtuous. If there was no inclination towards sin, then there is no meaning towards being virtuous. Therefore, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, and you must understand this hadith in its proper context. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you do not commit sin and do not ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah will create another nation who will commit sin and they will ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. What does it mean? It doesn't mean that Allah Ta'ala is happy with sin. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ Allah is not happy with sin. Allah Ta'ala is not وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيِّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّحَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانِ Allah is not happy with sin. But if you do not commit sin and ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah will create another nation who will commit sin and ask Allah for forgiveness. Why? The reason, Allah Ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim. Allah is forgiving. Allah is merciful. If you're not going to commit sin and ask Allah for forgiveness, who is Allah Ta'ala going to forgive? If Allah is not going to forgive the sinners, who is He going to forgive? He's going to forgive the people who ask Allah Ta'ala for repentance and asking Allah Ta'ala for sin, forgiveness for sin. So we must understand Allah Ta'ala has kept both these aspects and human being by nature, because he's weak, he's going to commit sin. But sin is no ordinary matter. Allah does not like sin, and it is not correct for us ever to regard sin as insignificant. We never regard sin as insignificant. It is made mention about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Sahih Bukhari makes mention, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنْ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَأَنَّهُ قَائِدٌ تَحْتَ جَبَلٍ يَخَافُ أَن يَقَعَ عَلَيْهِ That the believer regards sin as burdensome, as difficult, as someone sitting underneath a boulder and now thinking that when is the boulder perhaps going to fall upon me. Sometimes we read nowadays when a person goes to Chapman's Peak, you want to go to Cape Town, you want to drive on Chapman's Peak, they say today Chapman's Peak is closed because of falling boulders, because of the falling rocks. So a believer regards sin as difficult as sitting down a mountain, that perhaps that mountain, the rock is going to fall. وَإِنَّ الْفَاجِرْ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَذُبَابٍ مَرَّ عَلَىٰ عَنْفِهِ And a fajr, a sinner, regards sin as insignificant, like a fly sitting on his nose and he wipes it away. We don't regard sin as insignificant. In a hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ إِذَا خَطَعَ خَطِيئَةً نُكِتَتْ فِي قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةً سَوْدًا When a believer commits sin, a dark spot comes upon his spiritual heart. And then when he makes tawbah and he asks Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah removes the darkness. And when he doesn't make tawbah, then that particular darkness spreads over his entire spiritual heart until it becomes completely dark. Then it cannot recognize good from evil. It cannot recognize one from either, and it continues doing that in that particular way it carries. So therefore, sin is no ordinary matter. But now, if sin is no ordinary matter, what do we do with regard to our sin? Right? If sin is such a significant thing, it is so serious, what do we do with regard to sin? It is our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam who came to our rescue, that he said, for each and everything there is a cure. And the cure for sinning is to make istighfar. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. This is the cure for sin. It is made mentioned by Rabi ibn Khuthaym in the kitab Ilyatul Awliya, that she said to Antua, made mention, this is a very great saying, made mention to his students, تَدْرُونَ مَدَّاءُ وَالدَّوَاءُ وَالشِّفَاءُ قَالُوا لَا قَالَ الدَّوَاءُ الذُّنُوبُ وَالدُّهَاءُ الْإِسْتِغْفَارُ وَالشَّفَاءُ أَنْتَ تُوبَ ثُمَّ لَا يَعُودُ He said this, the sickness is sin. The sickness is sin. The medicine is to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. The cure is, you don't go back to that sin. What a beautiful example. The sickness is The sickness is a sin. Sickness is sin. And the medicine for that particular sickness is ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. And the cure for it is you don't repeat the sin. Subhanallah. So these things are important for us to understand. Sin is no insignificant matter. When we have it, what do we need to do to save ourselves from the halakah and the destruction of sin is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And one of the greatest things with regard to sin is to acknowledge sin. Brothers, this is a very important thing. You see, there were two reactions in the beginning of creation. Two reactions. One was the reaction of Iblis. One was the reaction of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is a very... So Iblis, when he committed and he refused to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making sitta to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not acknowledge his sin. Allah ta'ala said, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتَكَ. Oh, Iblis, why? What prevented you from making sitta when I commanded you? قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. I am better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارُ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينَ. I have been created from fire. He has been created from dust. قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran said, أَلْيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. He told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, you led me astray. رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. You led me astray. Now this is the way of Iblis. When someone tells you, when you know you have committed a guna, and you say, no, there is nothing wrong, you justify it. That is the way of shaitan. And then is the way of Adam alayhi salam. What did Adam alayhi salatu wasalam do when Allah Ta'ala told him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebuked him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him what he had done? He said, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Oh Allah, I have committed wrong. And in the first part of the Holy Quran is a very amazing verse. فَتَلَقَّى عَادَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتِ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah Ta'ala put these words in the heart of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Now you know, ulama have given this example, beautiful example. So one day, your small son did something wrong. Small child, right? He did something. He broke something in the house. And when he broke something in the house, you shout him. And first time now, the son all of a sudden heard the father is rebuking him. The father is shouting him. The father is lifting his voice. Now all of a sudden he's frightened. And sometimes you see the child crying. He didn't know what to do. All of a sudden he did something wrong. He didn't know what to do now. The father is shouting him. Then the father said, okay, say sorry. The father said, say sorry. So then he say, I'm sorry. Then the father hugs him. Ulama say, the same thing happened with Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So Adam alayhi salam did something and then he felt regret. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. فَتَلَقَّى عَادَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. Allah Ta'ala put it in his heart. Oh Adam, say these words. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Oh Allah, I have done wrong. If you don't forgive me, you don't have mercy upon me, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. I will do wrong. You know, I will be amongst those who are losers. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala put those words in Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Ulama have made mention that Iblis misleads humankind with regard to sins in two ways. Iblis misleads human beings with regard to sins in two ways. One, he tells human beings, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Go and do whatever you want. Huh? One is he going to tell human beings, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Go and do whatever you want, Allah will forgive you. And one is he tells human being, after he commits sin, that Allah will never forgive you. So these two extremes. One is he tells human beings that commit sins, Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. But you know, we must understand the context of it. Ulama have written and given this example. Some doctor comes to your house and you tell him, give me some basic medicine. And he gives you one ointment. And he gives you the ointment and says, in case someone burns in the house, then you take this ointment and you put it over the burn part. Right? So you got that ointment in the house. Now next time there is a braai that comes up, you're making a braai in the yard, and you take your hand and you want to put it in a fire. Someone said, why are you putting the, your hand in a fire? You're going to burn. He said, doctor gave me an ointment. Doctor gave me an ointment. So someone will say, you're foolish. That ointment is, if you burn, then you use the ointment. Not that you put your hand deliberately in the fire and said, you know, that I got an ointment. In the same way, Ghafoorur Rahim. You can't say, I'm going to commit guna because Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. That is so foolish, like putting your hand in the fire, saying, I got an ointment. That ointment is in case someone burns, then you put it in a similar manner. If in case you commit guna, then you ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. You don't deliberately go and commit guna because Allah is forgiving. And the other way is, you say, no. You know, you make, when you commit a guna, and you feel that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will not forgive me. Ya Allah. This is kufr. إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون. Only the disbeliever loses hope in the mercy of Allah. Ali radiallahu ta'ala saw a person when he was sitting very despondent, very disappointed. Why are you disappointed? Oh Ali, I've committed a guna. I've committed a sin. You know, so he became very despondent. Ali radiallahu ta'ala told him, oh my brother, for you to be despondent about the sin is even more worse than committing the sin. Sin is no insignificant, is wrong. But you can never ever be despondent with regard to the sin. Because for you to be despondent about the sin is more worse than committing the sin. So this is the aspect that sin is a disease and its antidote is seeking Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. You know, and then whoever seeks Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's forgiveness, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوعًا هُوْ يَزْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغَفِرِ اللَّهِ يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Whoever does wrong or makes and oppresses his soul by committing wrong, ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ, seek the forgiveness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. He will find Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to be Ghafoorur Rahim. He will find Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to be very Ghafoorur Rahim. Now we all know that there are conditions with regard to asking for forgiveness. By the way, we will make mention of it. Allah Ta'ala speaks about tawbatan nasuha. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi said, tawbah and nasuha signifies that a person should regret his past evil deeds and make a firm resolve not to do it again in the future. That is tawbatan nasuha. That is a tawbah which Allah Ta'ala tells us to commit. You know, when you do wrong, you ask Allah Ta'ala for tawbat nasuh. Tawbat nasuh is that you make a firm resolve, I will not, you know, regret, and you will make a firm resolve that I will not do it again. One great alim has made mention and said, amongst the things with regard to tawbat nasuh is, a person should pray for forgiveness with his tongue. So with his tongue, he shows asking Allah for forgiveness. In his heart, there is regret. At-tawbatu an-nadam. The essence of tawbah, the essence of tawbah is for you to feel bad about your guna and sin. The essence of tawbah is for you to have regret, nadamat. And then with regard and prevent your limbs of your body from not committing the sins in the future. So three things. With your tongue, you say, Rabbana zalamna anfusana, Rabbana firli, waliwalidayya. You know, you ask Allah for forgiveness. In your heart, you have regret. And the limbs of the body, you discipline yourself not to commit the same mistake again. Now one thing that comes to mind is, what happens if we continuously make sin? We are human beings, we make one sin, we ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, then we make the sin again. Now ulama have written that at the time of tawbah, you must resolve you're not going to commit the sin. If afterwards you commit, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will forgive you. Ulama gave the example of the wiper. The wiper, now the rain comes, the wiper wipes away the rain. Afterwards, the rain comes again, the wiper wipes it again. The rain comes, the wiper wipes it again. That is tawbah. You must continuously ask Allah for forgiveness. Shaitan does not tire to mislead human being. Allah will never get tired from forgiving you, provided you don't get tired of asking Allah for forgiveness. Let me repeat this again. Shaitan doesn't get tired of misleading you. Allah will never get tired of forgiving you. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is Ghafoorur Rahim, and His rahmat cannot be imagined. It is beyond our understanding. Allah will never get tired of forgiving you. You must not get tired of asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. So this is the example. Our clothes get dirty, right? No one says the cloth is dirty, I've got to throw it away. He washes it. Then again it gets dirty. He washes it, it becomes white, he wears it on Friday. Then end of Friday it gets dirty. He sends it again to the washing, it gets washed again, it comes, wears it again. That is our example. We must continue. You know, of course, Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi was a very famous poet and a very famous Sufi, came from the Persian state. And he gave these beautiful words in Persian. Baza, baza, haracha, sti baza. Dar kafiro kun kabro parasti baza. Sat bahar agar toba shakisti baza. Eche dargahe no na, dargahe no umidinas. Stay away from Allah, stay away from guna. Turn towards Almighty Allah. Turn towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Baza, baza, harachi hasba. Sat bahar agar toba shakisti baza. Even if you broke your toba 100 times, turn again to Allah ta'ala the 101st time. Allah Ta'ala is waiting for you to turn towards Almighty Allah. And this is not only poetic language. This is in a hadith. It comes in a hadith in Bukhari Sharif that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made mention that a person committed 99 murders. Ya Allah. To commit one murder, Allah in the Quran says, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَعُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا. You kill one person, Allah Ta'ala decrees for you Jahannam forever. If you kill one person and you murder one person, your person kills 99%. All of a sudden, after 99, he became regretful. And what he said, if 99, what I'm going to do? So he went to a pious person of his time, in the time of Bani Israel. And he said, I committed 99 murders. How? Will Allah Ta'ala forgive me? So many times, you know, people who don't have the wisdom of the qualities of Allah would say, no, Allah won't forgive you. So he said, you told me Allah won't forgive me, so let me complete my century. Khalas. 100. Finished. Made him also, you know, finished him also. They made him shaheed. So then someone told him that in another village, there is a very, very pious person who is very wise. Go to him. Maybe he will show you a way to ask for forgiveness. So he went. On the way, Allah Ta'ala took his life. And he died. When he died, both sets of angels came. One of the angels they came was who said that no, he has committed 99 murders, we must take him to Jahannam. And the other one said, no, he was walking to ask for forgiveness. He was walking to ask for forgiveness. We must take him to Rahmat, we must take him to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervened and told the angels, measure the distance between the two. Measure the distance between the two. Measure where he came from, where he committed sins. And measure the distance where he was going to ask Allah for forgiveness. And when they measured, then the span was one span more closer towards the place where he was going for forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala said, forgive him. Go and forgive him. He didn't commit one good deed. Didn't have even bring iman. He was on his way to bring in iman and couldn't ask for forgiveness. Just this intention, I want to turn towards Almighty Allah. I want to ask Allah for forgiveness. The hadith in Sahih Bukhari said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. In Jami al-Tirmidhi, there is, you know, Allah Ta'ala, my dear, we must, while we regard sin as significant, we worry about our sin, but we must never ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Turn towards Almighty Allah. Look at this verse in the Holy Quran. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Oh, قُلْ, tell unto my bondsmen, who have done wrong, أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, who have exceeded the limits with regard to themselves. You know, you sometimes think, Ya Allah, Allah is not addressing Anbiya, Allah is not addressing Awliya, Allah Ta'ala is addressing a sinner. I mean, you can say Allah Ta'ala addresses Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Ayyuhal Nabi, Ya Ayyuhal Muzzammil, Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir, Ya Nuh, Ya Isa. Allah is addressing a person who committed guna. Ya Ibadiyal Ladina Asrafu Hal Hakus. Oh, you, my bondsman, my servant who has done wrong. Subhanallah, how is Allah addressing the sinner? Ya Ibadi, oh my slave. Oh my bondsman, la taqnatu. Don't lose hope in my mercy. Look at how Allah is addressing the person who is a sinner. Allah addresses him in the Quran.
In Jami al-Tirmidhi, there is a riwayat with regard to kufr. Nabi Karim s.a.w. made mention of it in Jami al-Tirmidhi with a sahih sanad. Kifal committed guna. He was a wealthy person who had great amount of money given to a life of luxury. And many a times when people have money and luxury, they get involved in immorality. He used to fulfill his desire with any woman he wanted. So one day one woman came who was very attractive and pretty. And she said, I need your assistance because you have money. She said, I'm prepared to assist you, provided you give your body over to me. You give your body over to me. And they agreed upon a price, 60 dinars, 60 gold coins. Ya Allah, 60 gold coins. And she took the money. And then when he was just about to fulfill this evil act, and he was about to commit zina, she started crying. And he said, why are you crying? You accepted the money. You accepted the whole deal. You accept 60 the gold coins. Why are you crying? She said, I'm not given to a life of immorality. I did it because of my circumstances. I'm in poverty. That is the reason why I did it. So he felt so ashamed. He said, I gave a woman this money. She agreed. And now she's feeling regretful. She said, I've never done this before. I'm not a woman of immorality. I did this because of my circumstances. And she started crying. And he felt ashamed. And he said, I will never ever do this deed again. He made tawbah there. And then Allah Ta'ala took his life away at that time. People didn't want to perform his janaza because he says such a great, sinner. And then it was written on his door. On his door it was written, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a miracle maiden. فَأَصْبَحَ مَكْتُوبًا عَلَىٰ بَابِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ غَفَرَ لِلْكِفْرِ. Written on his door that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven kifr. And this is in the hadith kitab Jami'u al-Tirmidhi. After committing so much guna. So we never lose hope, my dear respected brothers. And this is the ashra of maghfirah. You know, there is such a beautiful example of Zainul Abidin, with which I will conclude. Zainul Abidin, rahmatullah alayhi, was the grandson of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the great grandson. So he was the son of Hazrat Hussein Nabi Allah Ta'ala Anhu. So Hakim Asma'i, very famous person in our history, say I was one day sitting in the haram. When I saw someone in the darkness singing and rendering poetry about the mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya may yujibu du'a al muttarri fi zalami, wa ya kashif al durri wal balwa ma'as-saqami. Oh, the one who listens and responds to the caller of the distressed person when he is in distress, and the one who removes his difficulty when he is in difficulty. It's a long poem. So Hatim Asma'i rahmatullahi said, I went to see who is singing these praises. Who is singing this beautiful poetry? And what portion of that poem? In kana judaka la yarju dhu sahfain, famay yajudu ala al-asina bil karami. Oh Allah, if your forgiveness and your generosity does not extend to the sinners, if the sinners cannot benefit from your mercy and your generosity, we can understand people who are pious. Allah Ta'ala will forgive them because of their piety. But who will look after the sinners? Oh Allah, if your generosity and mercy does not extend to the sinners, فَمَيْ يَجْهُدُ بِالْعَاسِينَ بِالْقَرَبِيمُ, then who should the sinners go to? Where do they go to? So Hatib Asma'i rahmatullahi said, I went to see who it is. And I saw the grandson of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, O grandson of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are from the family of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you are making such a great dua. You are definitely, you are forgiven. And he said, Atim, what are you talking? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي السُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَى. On the day of Qiyamah, no genealogy will come to assistance. The only thing that will come to assistance is good deeds. Brothers, this is the ashra for us to turn towards Almighty Allah. Let us not lose this opportunity. May Allah give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Brothers are requested, inshallah, the crowd is quite big, so if we can maybe come, you know, maybe we make ourselves one circle. So just come a little bit forward, inshallah. Jazakumullah.